Hello, and welcome everybody to another episode of Pod Strickland. I'm your host, Shrini Poo, in this episode 390. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Prez, that is at underscore Presidente on Twitter. Prez, how are you doing on this Victory Friday morning?
I'm feeling good. I caught up over a bunch of games I missed this morning, including the Boston game. And I don't know what the standing situation is like. Haven't really paid attention to it, but feeling good about our Knicks.
Yes, I think the general consensus is that there's much to feel good about. And we'll talk about that. But before we get started, I do have to make a few announcements. The first being that Strickland has Instagram. Check that out. That is at the Strickland Atlanta Instagram. We are posting all kinds of new content on there. The Strickland also has a YouTube channel where you may be watching this podcast. If you are not done so already, please hit like, subscribe to the channel, leave us a comment. That would be a huge help to us. The Strickland also has merchandise, which you can find on our website, www.thestrick.land. There's a link that will take you to the merchandise store. You can find all kinds of cool stuff on there. T-shirts, sweatshirts, hats, coffee mugs, water bottles, you name it. We've got it. Strickland. Also has a Patreon, which you can subscribe to. There are a number of different tiers. There's a $6 tier that gets you access to Pod Strickland, the podcast that I host every Friday with Prez. You also get access to Takes from Ivy's Bozos, our newest podcast that is hosted by Andrew Steele, a.k.a. Doug, along with Zach Blatter. And you get access to the Strickland Discord, where the conversation never stops. There are further tiers. There's a $9 tier that gets you access to Stricken Roll, my solo pod, where I rant over the Knicks even more. You also get access to wonderful premium articles by Matthew Marino, one of the best in the business. And now you get access to Strictly NFL, our newest podcast that is about the NFL, that is hosted by Constantine Metricos. There are further tiers. There's a $15 tier, $30 tier, $50 tier, and $100 tier. This comes with a variety of additional benefits, like listening to pod recordings, merchandise discounts, and even potentially co-hosting a podcast alongside yours. Truly, one day, whether you choose to subscribe or not, none of this would be possible without you. And none of this would be possible without Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get into the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. The Knicks won last night in Boston. A final score which does not look nearly as dominant as the Knicks were. The Knicks won 118-109. They were up 31 at one point in the fourth quarter. The Celtics pulled all their starters for the fourth quarter. Not just their starters, also just like their main rotation players. So Al Horford also did not play and whatever. I mean, honestly, just a very, very satisfying victory. The Knicks are basically one win away from guaranteeing themselves a 3 seed, which would be nice, because then you avoid Boston until the conference finals. but I'm not really interested in hearing about how Boston wasn't trying or didn't matter to them. I mean, it didn't matter to them. That part is fair. Which, you know, and I think this is reasonable. You can say, well, they didn't play with the same level of urgency the Knicks did. Yeah. I think that's fair to say. But they were definitely trying. They were definitely trying to win. And if they weren't trying to win, why was Jaylen Brown, why was Drew Holiday, why were these guys full court pressing Jalen Brunson in the third quarter? Why did they use a variety of different pick and roll coverages on Jalen Brunson if they were not interested in winning? I have a hard time believing that, you know, this was a game that they completely mailed in. That's not what it looked like to me. I think the Knicks handily beat them down. The Knicks wanted it more. They smoked them on the glass, and they withstood Boston's early hot start from three. And you know, they blew the fucking brakes off them to start that. In the second quarter, and then into the third quarter. And Jalen Brunson was again, you know, the head of the snake, so to speak, just completely in control and dominant in how he handled everything thrown at him. And then it all trickled down from there. Obviously, you saw with, you know, Josh Hart, 16 points, 16 rebounds, 5 assists, Isaiah Hartenstein, whatever the hell he had. He had a really good game too. And it's just, you can just go down the list, but I mean, this team, what they're doing is pretty special in terms when you look at kind of all the things they've been dealing with. So, yeah, very, very satisfying win.
Yeah, the Celtics were trying. They were trying the coverages. I don't think they were locked in, if that makes sense. Like, Mazzulla and all of them, like, he threw out some coverages, and it didn't work because Jalen Brunson's just going absolutely just ape shit over the last, like, week or two. And I'm not saying this to excuse Boston, but, like, it was the kind of situation where, like, they were kind of, like, they were out there hooping, trying. The Knicks punched them in the mouth, and they were just like, man, fuck. like, they weren't mailing it in that sense, but, like, there was a lot of plays where I was just, like, maybe it's just compared to the Knicks, they weren't locked in. The Knicks have been locked in for, like, a week straight at this point. So, you know, should we... Obviously, everybody expects better of the Celtics when the lights get bright. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, it wasn't some like sleepwalk game either. Like you said, Boston was shooting it well from three. They had all their guys. They made actually some, you know, typical great Boston defensive plays in the first like 15, 16, 17 minutes of the game. One thing that I thought was interesting was like, despite the huge run in the second half, like, the Knicks still missed quite a lot of gimmies, particularly around the rim. Like OG had a couple and Ihart had a couple like bobbles. Mitch had a couple bobbles that would have been easy twos. And so the Knicks were really just, even when they fucked up, it was the right idea for the most part. So they're just this version of the Knicks, right? Like we've talked about before Julius Randle got hurt, we talked about the difficulty of like, readapting the roles once Randle comes back and what does that team look like and is it different than the previous iterations of our healthy team. And now that Randle's out, there's not really any questions as to roles, and you can see everybody has pretty much, not everybody, but most of the players have pretty much mastered their roles. Bogey is the only rotation guy who's kind of still mastering it. But he's getting there as well. You can tell he knows when he's feeling it from three. He had, shout out Bogey, he had back-to-back plays with two of the most like insane layups of the season for the Knicks. One like up and under that like, you know, if that happened in 2K, I would just like rage quit. And then like another Jalen Brunson sweep through inside hand finish. And yeah, so he's getting there. And on defense, you just see these guys all locking in, helping the helper. There was a couple of times, it's so funny, it happens every game now, at least once, but like where two Knicks make the same like help the helper rotation because they're just like that locked into like, I need to help the helper. And then it ends up backfiring or whatever. But like, that's the kind of defensive mistake you'll live with. So I don't know, man. They were... just like watching these games, like I watched the last three games last night and this morning in quick succession, and it's not like the teams they played were just rolling over. Like the Bucks, it wasn't just Giannis and Dame. Like Portis had an excellent fucking game versus the Bulls. Huh?
Annoyingly.
Your boy, your favorite ex-Nick, the biggest miss of Prez's career, just me slandering Bobby Portis pre-championship. And versus the Bulls, like, Vooch had a great scoring game. You know, guy, it wasn't like these teams were facing, you know, nobody was doing their job out here for the teams we were playing. And the Knicks just, like you said, Jalen Brunson leads the way, but everybody else is just insanely locked in. Dante, I got to shout out Dante, man. He's wow. Like, it's not just the threes now. He's he's gotten like baseline cuts every game, dunks and assists, floaters. He'll mix up what I call the good old Courtney Lee, right? Where the pump fake and then take an 18 footer or something.
He tried to poster Derek White yesterday.
Bruh.
He was close.
That shit was crazy. He's been looking very
stringy. I know they're giving him shit in the locker room for that.
Yeah, for like not posterizing. Has he successfully posterized someone this year?
No.
He's literally like 0-for-8 or something.
He's Mr. So close.
He's
he's the blue balls champion of posterizing dunks.
The Frank Ntilikina blue balls dunker award for this year goes to Dante DiVincenzo.
Frank caught Gobert though, so you know he did get one.
That's true. He's probably like 1-for-20 in his fucking career and doing that shit.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll get one in Europe though. Who knows?
Yeah, you can't jump. That's a big problem for postering.
Yeah, minor problem. The other thing I enjoyed watching the Bulls game in particular, I just enjoy watching the announcers just grapple with Jalen Brunson, the non-Knicks announcers. And like half the time they just resort to like sounds. It's not even words. They just become fans, and it's just like what's the guy? Who's the guy for the Bulls? Is it Stacey? What's his name or whatever?
Stacey King and Adam Mean.
Yeah, Stacey King was just like, "Woo, man, Jalen Brunson, woo, first team All NBA, woo," and like every other word is just like not an actual word because he's just going that.
He's
crazy.
Like, actually, I think people don't like him. I actually like. I kind of like love Stacey King. I think he's hilarious.
Sometimes he gets annoying in that because, like, you know me, I don't like the. He's not. He's definitely not like the most homerish. He has moments of being a homer for sure.
Yeah, of course.
But like, I do like his general vibe where he really switches between like, you know, looking at it almost like a coach, and then also just a lot of exclamations. Like when they missed the double alley-oop, it was another string of just like a minute of just alternating between disbelief and just noise.
he's the one that he had the Derrick Rose one when Derrick Rose postered Dragic. He's like, he had like it's like a fucking like 45 second thing where he's just like, "Do you not know Dragic? This is Derrick Rose from Chicago." Like, just going nuts for like 40 minutes.
Yeah, when he gets excited, it's really, really fucking great. I will definitely give him that. When he gets excited or where he's just impressed.
Did you not get the memo?
I forget what he said when Drummond and this guy missed the accidental double alley-oop. He's just like, "Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?" Like, that shit was crazy, bro. Who else deserves a shout out? Deuce. Stacey was very impressed with Deuce in that game. I feel like Deuce has started to jump even higher and shoot even higher arc on his threes now. And he's had a couple of layups too. So like, he's still, I still like, I'll praise Deuce, but I also have to slander Deuce because in Boston,
yo, you can't be getting shook by fucking Peyton Pritchard, bro.
No, the worst Knicks Peyton Pritchard thing was Peyton Pritchard giving Bogey the cross and then the bump. like Bogey doesn't have like 35 pounds on him, and then he just hit the layup. But no, what I was gonna say about Deuce is versus the Bulls, he had, you know me, he's taken some of the ugliest, like, is it a floater? Is it a jump shot? Is it a finger roll? But he had the worst one of this season versus the Bulls, and it's just one day he'll get the floater and we won't have to deal with these fucking 5-year-old imitating George Gervin ass finger rolls / floaters. I don't know, man. How are you feeling about the team going into the playoffs? Like, I know some people are like, you know, if it's the Magic, great. If it's the Sixers, I don't know, but like, whatever, we'll be fine. And like, the way I see it, I don't know, man. Short of Boston, like a team could beat them, but it would take a pretty extraordinary performance if they keep it up how they're doing right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'll say this. Like, I think for good reason, obviously, the Celtics are the favorite and you know, the number one seed and all the shit they have going for them. We all understand that. But like, I don't know. You look at all the numbers when OG is healthy with this team, like, I don't know. Like, it really is like, okay, if you think like the playoffs are just a totally different thing, then I understand maybe being skeptical of like the Knicks for a variety of reasons. Obviously, like having one person who can create offense is generally a problem, as we saw in the fourth quarter yesterday. But like all the numbers bear out that they're basically the best team in basketball when OG plays. With Randall, without Randall, it doesn't matter. When he's on the floor, they are the best team in basketball. And we also know in the playoffs, like obviously you extend your best players' minutes to a higher level. And it's not just OG, to be clear. I'm not just trying to like boil it down to that. Hartenstein, you know, obviously Brunson, all these dudes, Hart, like they're all contributing to that level of dominance, but he clearly unlocks a higher level for this group in a way that maybe nobody else does. And aside from Brunson, I should say. But like, I don't know. I mean, I keep kind of like thinking about this in my head, and I'm like, well, okay. So like, on one hand, like the numbers are like, yeah, they're a contender right now as is. They don't even like, yeah, it sucks that they lost Julius. And I do want to say this. I find the entire Julius Randle conversation really, really disingenuous. That the one that's happening right now, which has been happening, you know, kind of for a little bit, where it's like, we don't really need him. We're better without him, or we're just as good without him. And I find that disingenuous. And honestly, I find that to be complete bullshit. They were the best team in basketball for a month with Julius Randle. And they were dominant offensively, and they were dominant defensively. If you want to say that you prefer watching the way they're playing and they've adapted to play, they have to play without Julius, I totally understand that. I think that is reasonable. And I think that is, you know, that's how you appreciate and watch and what you want to watch, how you want players to play, how you want your team to play. That's all subjective stuff. You know, I have no problem with anybody that says that. Would they be playing the same way if Julius had never gotten hurt? No, obviously not. They'd be playing very different style of basketball. But the style they were playing, whether you like it or not, was absolutely beating the fucking brakes off teams.